listening to The Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
What's up?
Oh, my goodness. Just about to pull my hair out. I have been trying to recover an old email address. And public service announcement, if you have an email address with a specific free website or free email company that might rhyme with achoo.
Achoo. Gotcha.
If you do not access that email address for 12 months, they will delete all your stuff. I'm talking files that I have had for years. I was using that email address as my personal filing cabinet.
Oh, so like a storage unit you weren't paying rent on?
Yes, exactly. And now all of that data, legal documents, gone. And shame on me for not attempting to log into that and keep it fresh. But, you know, when computers break, when phones break, it can make that really, really difficult to do. And so if you are in the need of a computer, laptop, tablet, phone, something of that variety, and you're in a pinch, you got to get down to Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a lot of people don't know that they carry those type of items, that they've got the electronics. I didn't for a long time. I was not aware of that. But they've got a pretty good selection because in addition to the computers, tablets, phones, they've got scanners. They've got Apple AirPods. They've got all kinds of headphones, soundbars, speakers, karaoke stuff. Like, I mean, you can have a party by going to Don's Easy Pay.
It's like a terrific tour of technology.
Oh,
I like that alliteration.
That was slick.
Yeah.
That was very, very slick. Kind of like today's guest, who more than a few times made the comment, and there was no ego-driven whatsoever in this, but made the comment that one of the reasons he was extremely successful as a personal trainer was because of his really good personality. And that shines through. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's genuine. Dude is positive to a fault.
I think that's something that people can take and put with whatever their endeavors are in any industry, workplace, home environment. Positivity can surely make the difference. And it sounds like this guest today has got that in spades.
He does. And he's one of my, you know, kind of favorites, hometown, high school friends. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love him to death. And I'm so very proud of what he has accomplished in his life because he's doing really, really cool things and he's helping people.
Love that.
He loves to help people. So today's guest is Derek Miller. And Derek is the owner of Ballistic Power and Kettlebell Gym in Springdale, Arkansas. And he was gracious enough to give us some time while he was in town for spring break. And man, it just is good. It's good. I'm excited.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Yeah. Let's meet Derek. Welcome to this episode of the Ouachita Chronicles. I'm your host, Ashley Smith, and I would normally have my co-host, but she's missing today. But I'm not alone in the studio. I have a terrific guest in here, a very close friend of mine for many, many years. I've got Derek Miller, the owner of Ballistic Power and Kettlebell Gym, in the studio today. So say hello to the listeners.
Hello, everybody.
Yay. I'm really glad you came.
Thank you.
Like, glad to be really
here.
Glad.
I'm glad to be here.
I've been trying to get Derek on the show for a while, and the last time we had it scheduled, definitely had to reschedule. I think I was actually sick that time.
Yeah.
And today's Jerry's sick, but, you know, we're just doing it solo.
We're going to do it. It's all good.
We're going to do it. Anyways, Derek grew up here in Mena. I mean, we went to school together from the time I moved here in sixth grade, but you'd always been here, hadn't you?
Yeah, so I moved here when I was 10.
Mm-hmm. So middle school, high school, we went through all of that together. I have some photos of you, and actually, since I've been moving, you know, and packing, I found some of them. And looking at you in high school, you've always been a good-looking guy, but it was so funny because you're a teenager, you know, and man, you're just a way bigger dude.
So tiny.
But you were. So you were always tall. But I mean, yeah, the muscle mass, it wasn't quite there. So I remember, well, and you'll have to fill me in on the exact time period here. When did you start working? And that's, I want to talk about some of the stories and, you know, your inspiration or whatever that came from Larry. So you started working at Ouachita Rehabilitation and Fitness.
Yep.
How old were we?
So I would have been 15, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was young.
Well, let me think. So I started kind of exercising there when I was 14, because that's right when my parents split up. Kind of realized that I was like, man, I just kind of need something, an outlet, you know, and I read that, hey, exercise is kind of like the thing that helps people with depression, anxiety kind of situation, and I just turned out to be that guy. And so I can remember going in and doing it, and then I was like, well, I got to continue to do this.
Right, because you get addicted to it.
You get addicted to it really fast, and it helped me tremendously. And so I was refinishing furniture at the time for a guy, Ken McInnes. You know, wasn't really making a whole lot. I was living with my mom, and I was like, well, how can I work out at the gym and not have to pay for it? And I thought, well, I'll just try to get a job there. And so I want to say I was about 15 because I was working at KFC and then Subway. And from Subway, I went to the gym, but I think I had them both at the same time there. So 15.
Oh, I remember you working at KFC.
Oh, we had all sorts of chicken.
Yes, I remember that now. You know, there's
some good taglines too.
Uh-huh. There's so many little things that you don't remember from your teenage years, but then somebody says something and you're like, oh, flashback all of a sudden. Yeah. I do want to touch on that. You did mention that your parents split at that time, and so you started working out as an outlet. I remember that being extremely particularly hard on you. I do. I recall that firsthand experience. How did you have the fortitude to seek out such an outlet at that age?
I think I just kind of lucked into it because I was just reading different stuff, and I just, you know, one of the things, I don't even really honestly know. I think probably the biggest thing is that my dad got diagnosed with diabetes when he was 30, and I remember that vividly, and of course I was, you know, a child, and I just kind of remember that in my mind of, well, I know I'm just like my dad. I look just like my dad. All the men in his family look alike.
The hereditary markers are there.
Right? Yeah, it's there. So if I don't like try to head this off, then I'll probably get diabetes. And so this was just kind of in the back of my mind. And I just think, I can't even remember exactly what I read, but I just thought, well, I'm just going to go try working out. Mm-hmm. And I got picked on quite a bit when I was younger. You may or may not have known that, but I did.
I don't remember that.
Really, my brother.
I would have punched someone in the face for you, Derek.
Well, it wasn't the kids at school.
Yeah. It was like the older brothers.
My brother, and, you know, like his friends. And after I got a little bit bigger and taller, they quit that.
You outgrew your brother by quite a bit.
Yeah, really quick there. So anyway, I don't really know exactly how I had the fortitude. I just lucked out and did it. Mm-hmm. And then literally the first time, I was like, well, I'm going to do this the rest of my life, basically. Yeah.
So did you start with just the basics of what you knew or what you'd picked up in sports and school?
Did you have a trainer? So funny because looking back on what I know now and what I did, and I still tell people this story. So my workout that day, first time I went in, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna run on the treadmill a mile as fast as I can possibly do it. That was the first thing.
Okay.
Boom, I do that. I don't even remember the time, but I was totally exhausted. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna put this amount of weight on the tricep rope push down. I just somehow knew that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do one set as many as I can do. Okay, was that. And then I did the row the same way, like the back row. I was like, oh, this kind of looks cool. I'm going to put as one set. I'm just going to do as much as I can do. That was day one. Mm-hmm. And basically, I did that for about 2 months. And like didn't make any progress, obviously.
Right.
I just kept hitting this, you know, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I finally was just talking to Larry. And I was like, Larry, I really just kind of need some direction because I'm going to come in here and I'm not making any progress either way. And so can you kind of help me out with what to do? And it kind of all started from there.
Yeah. So, okay.
Such a young boy kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to get on there. I'm just going to do as hard as I can.
Right.
That's what I need to do. Yes, as hard as and fast as I can do.
Yeah. Till I cannot lift anymore.
Yeah.
And then I'm done.
And then I'm going to go home.
Yeah. Because that's going to make my muscles get a lot bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be sick when I get home, basically. So, anyway.
At that age, with Larry giving you a little bit of guidance, I mean, you obviously knew that you just wanted to gain muscle mass, right? Yep. I mean, you weren't an overweight teenager or anything. You needed to gain muscle mass. Had you really started to consider, what you were putting in your body at that time, the food and everything?
Yeah. So you're really into it. Yeah, so I was super picky till I was about 16. Mm-hmm. Super picky. Like hamburger or ham or burger or bologna. I mean, super duper picky. Uh-huh. Super. And so I was like, man, I can't just live off bologna sandwiches. This is not going to work.
Right.
And so I finally just kind of started like looking at nutrition more, paying attention to it, figuring out what I need to eat. And I specifically remember trying some of the supplements that they used to make, like protein supplements and weight gain supplements. And it's so funny because now people still say, man, that tastes so disgusting. I can't even, it tastes all chalky and gross. And I'm thinking, you have no idea what this tasted like in like 95.
They've massively improved the taste of those things.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was terrible. I mean, I remember you'd try to blend the stuff up, and if you didn't have a blender, you couldn't do it.
The shaker bottle was not going to cut it.
The shaker bottle was not a thing back then, for one thing. And it was just, so anyway, yeah, that was about 16, I started eating more and kind of just opening up my palate a little bit more.
Okay. So. And what was your job at the gym when you were there?
At that time was opening, what they called floor staff, and basically opening the gym, cleaning the gym, you know, and using my great personality.
Right, obviously. Yeah. I mean, charming all the ladies.
Well, I didn't say that. I said great personality.
That's what I said.
Okay. Yeah. And so that was pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, this is another timeline thing that I'm trying to remember. Did you get your personal training certification while you were still in high school? That's what I'm trying to remember.
No, it was a little bit after. I was 20 when I did that.
Okay, okay. So, but while we're still in school here, you did start helping some with training, didn't
well,
you?
Well, I think, yeah, because I was training Justin LePenner. Mm-hmm. I say training. We were all working out together. Clint Kelly.
Advising, yeah.
Advising, so to speak. And I was just in there so much because I worked. Mm-hmm. They're almost full time. That I just kind of got to knowing people and doing stuff, and you just kind of lends itself to helping people out. So,
well, there was a huge transformation in you. You know, our junior and senior years in high school. Not only in your attitude, because as I said, that you know that split with your parents was really hard on you. I'm going to be completely honest, listeners. Derek was a jerk for a while.
Well,
you were.
Some
you
would
were
debate
mean
that Derek
for
never quit being a jerk. So
I,
let's not throw that out there.
I don't think you are, but anyways, yes, definitely you were for a while. But you really kind of came back around, and you seemed so much happier. Like you had found, you'd found it. You'd found what you wanted to do. And I don't know even if at that point you knew that's what you wanted to go on and do, but I knew that you were happy at that point in time with what you were doing. So I'm going to tell my favorite story about Derek.
This was much later. No, I guess it wouldn't have been
we
that
were
much
seniors.
Later. Oh my gosh.
This was this was the first camping trip that ended up being a yearly one, basically.
Okay.
So a big group of friends. Gosh, there was probably 15 of us, I would think. We decided for our senior trip because, you know, we weren't going anywhere out of town, but we decided to go camping.
Horsehead Lake.
Horsehead Lake. Mm-hmm. Yes, we went to Horsehead Lake. And we were going to be there for 2 days. And we were an unruly group. We'll just say that.
Were we underage drinking?
Yes, we were totally underage drinking. Okay. Yeah, we were an unruly group. But we kept to ourselves. That was the thing. Like, during this camping trip, we were there for 2 days. We borrowed, like, pots and pans from our neighbors. Yeah. And they even, like, commented, like, how nice and respectful we were, and we weren't, like, super duper loud at night.
Yeah.
We took them their stuff back clean, and, you know, like, they vouched for us later when this incident happened, if you recall.
Yes.
So I think it was
I do remember that night.
I think it was the second night. I'm almost positive it was the second night. And we were just having a good time, you know, and you know what all that entails. And blue lights. The police showed up.
Well, you know what got them over there?
No, I don't remember that.
Tim.
Underage drinking.
Well, I think we would have been fine, but they were going by, and we kind of hooped and hollered, to something stupid.
Because we were stupid teenagers.
They use as an excuse of, oh, did you need us?
Yeah. Were you flagging us down? I do remember that.
We might as well said, hey, we're really drunk over here.
Right.
Come talk to us, please, officers.
Exactly.
That's what we should have said.
Well, they did walk up to us, and, you know, it was we tried really hard to hide whatever ice chest we had, but it was already done at that point. They were already there. We were caught. There was no getting around it. I don't remember exactly everything that went down because I remember being very still and trying not to be seen. That was
I was going to talk my way out of it.
You were, and you did. And that is the funniest part of this entire story. So one of the officers is going around to everybody there, you know, asking if they'd been drinking, if they had been smoking any substances, you know, questioning every single one of us, asking for our IDs so they could figure out what our ages were.
We
had one of age person.
That person will go unnamed.
Yes.
I haven't seen that person in a long time. Anyway,
still around here.
Yeah.
Carry on. But we did have one person of age, and of course they were grilling him really hard because of being the of age and all the alcohol that was
beers.
Just sitting. Right. But I remember you were standing there with your arms crossed over your chest, and you'd started to gain muscle bulk at this point, and you had on your gym t-shirt from the gym. You had it on. So it's got the little Washita Rehab logo right there on your chest. And they basically looked at you and said, well, have you had anything to drink tonight? And you had your arms crossed over your chest. And just as serious as you could, you said, nope, I'm into the fitness.
Hey-o.
Yes, I die. I mean, like.
Did it work?
It worked.
I think it did work, right?
He kind of took a step back. He was like, how is this super self-assured teenager who's obviously three sheets to the wind just claim that he's not had anything because he's into the fitness. Into the fitness.
He probably smelled me, too.
It could, you know, that could have been the tagline for your gym if you just thought about it.
It could have been.
Into the fitness.
You're right.
That would have been great. But if by any weird chance those officers do hear this, they were really nice.
Yeah.
They let us go. They let us keep our beer.
We weren't bothering everybody.
No. And like I said, our neighbors vouched for us. Our campsite neighbors vouched for us that we had been behaving ourselves. So, but that was also the next morning that I had the worst hangover of my entire life, as Derek and I just figured while we were talking before this, and I warned him I was going to tell this story, that you and I stayed up later than everybody else and pretty much drank like a half gallon of Jim Beam.
Yeah, black labeled you.
Black label and wandered around the woods.
Throw that in there.
Yeah, it was pretty serious. So that's why I'm not a big drinker now.
Yeah, no. Basically, I tell people, basically, by the time I turned 21, I had drank so much whiskey, I didn't want to drink anymore.
Exactly.
And it's kind of embarrassing to say, but then it's really not.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
A beer here, a glass of wine there, and that's it for me. It could have been way worse, but we made it out of that one unscathed. But that was pretty much the end of our senior year, the end of our, running wild in the Ouachitas. I mean, that's kind of was the culmination. We graduated like a week later, if I remember correctly. And half of us were just out of here at that point. So
someone has that picture.
I have a copy of it.
Okay, good. Keep that.
I will. I do. Because
there's a lot of good people in that.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Ouachita Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
So, you know, we have this thing in the South here that we call floating. You heard of floating?
I've heard of the floating. I've been on a float or two.
So I, for a long time, have had a bucket list float.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about your bucket list.
My bucket list float is to float the Buffalo River. The Buffalo River is America's first national river, and it's located in north central Arkansas in the gorgeous Ozark Mountains.
Yeah, I floated it actually as a child, and the best place to do that is at Buffalo River Outfitters. They're located in St. Joe, Arkansas, and they've got floating and access to camping and fishing, hiking's around. All your needs are taken care of at BRO. The bros will hook you up.
They've got canoes, kayaks, rafts, shuttle service.
Yeah, if floating is your thing, they've got one-day trips or multiple-day trips, and they're all made easier by renting from BRO. When you're on your float, you can see beautiful limestone bluffs, the wilderness, and unparalleled scenic beauty.
And then, after you've spent a long day on the river, you can cozy up in one of BRO's spacious and comfortable log cabins. They've got stone fireplaces, wide porches, fully equipped kitchens, wooded settings. They've got cozy cabins for two, or cabins big enough to accommodate 10 people.
Y'all should definitely visit the Buffalo River Outfitters store and stock up on everything you need while you're there for your Ozark adventure.
And their knowledgeable staff can accommodate any questions about the Buffalo National River. You can also order books and maps online to prepare for your visit with them.
So if you're ready to plan your Buffalo River adventure, you've got to check out BuffaloRiverOutfitters.com to find out more and book conveniently online. Give them a call at 870-439-2200 and follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
When are we taking our bucket list trip? I mean, you got to go with me. You're my best friend.
Well, let's do it soon.
Soon. All right. So we graduated high school. Where'd you go to college?
I started at RMCC.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that because you were actually doing TV a little bit there and the Fishing with Buds show. Yeah.
Still the funniest. That's probably the highlight of it. So I went to RMCC because it made sense. And the point blank, we were very poor. And I knew that I could go there and get a couple years for free. And then I could potentially, basically for free. And then go to the university. I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the gateway that I used.
And what did you major in?
I think it was, you had to just get associates, but it was kind of towards biology.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went to the University of Arkansas. And then it took me 13 years to finish my degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that because I got married
right
there to Sarah Francis at the time. And we split up and I was still in school and it was my senior year and I was working. And I was like, you know what? When we split up, it just basically crushed me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I just got to stop. I got to stop for a little bit. Well, I literally had my writing paper to do. That's all I had for my biology degree. And so long story short, that took me about 13 years to finish. So
That paper,
among other things.
Yeah.
I was doing other stuff. We'll get back to that. But now I'm actually back in school trying to work towards the physical therapy program that UAMS has.
Nice.
So
is that a sports medicine type thing?
It's just physical therapy, so I think you can probably do sports medicine.
Right.
But a lot of physical therapy is like geriatric age people. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do...
Injuries and stuff.
Mm-hmm. All PTs are going to say they want to work with athletes, but at the end of the day, athletes make up a very small...
Right, you just want to help whoever needs help.
I want to help people. That's what I like doing.
Yeah. Okay, so where were you working at during college? Were you still into the fitness?
Yeah, I'm still into the fitness, yes. Well, I worked at ORAF, is what they called it at the time.
I have no idea.
Washtenaw Rehab and Fitness.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait. Now I do remember
that. They called that because I had a great tagline.
That Jim Beam Black Label right there. Made me forget.
I worked there until I finished my associate's degree here. Moved to Fayetteville. I actually moved outside of Lincoln, which almost the summers. I don't know if you know where that's at. I actually worked. The first job I had in Fayetteville was at George's.
Okay.
As a bouncer.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, man, I'm going to trust something tough.
I looked the look.
And then when I got up there and realized you have to stay up till like 3:30 in the morning.
That immediately does not fit into the fitness.
No, I was like, no, this is not going to work for me. So I worked there for about 6 months. I ended up working at the Spirit Shop. That was all right.
Yeah.
But those guys were just, it wasn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. And then I worked at the Hyper Building when I was there.
Okay.
So did that as a floor staff again, helping mm-hmm. people. And then did personal training there as well. So at one time I had 3 jobs in college.
Mm-hmm. So you got your personal training certification while you were in Fayetteville working.
Actually, when I was in MENA, because I would have done it the last
year of
about a year that I was here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you had that certification, you were able to go to Fayetteville, and then once you were started to do these other things, you could already do that. I mean, you don't need a college degree for that. That's a completely different certification. You can train.
Yeah.
What year did you start ballistic?
That would have been 10 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So there was a decent gap there between finishing college and starting.
Absolutely, because I would have been 27.
Yeah.
28, yeah.
Okay. So was there anything significant in that time period that we need to touch on? Or can we go to basically what inspired you to start this? Or actually, though, you started to learn about all these, you know, alternate ways of health, basically. I mean, just different. That's what we need to go into.
Yeah.
Is what led you to start the first kettlebell facility in Arkansas.
Yeah. So that's because I was doing bodybuilding shows. You knew that.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Okay.
I started doing bodybuilding. You know, Larry, that's what he did.
Yeah.
And it kind of made sense. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I want to be big. I want to do this stuff. And I'm a young man. Of course. That sounds great, right? The only problem with it is it was kind of twofold. I very much developed body dysmorphia, which is not realizing how you look and seeing yourself different than you are.
Yeah, I had that in high school.
Very much developed that when I was bodybuilding, and I attribute that 100% to bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also developed this, basically just the eating cycles that you had to do with bodybuilding was just terrible for me. And so that combined with as I got bigger and more into bodybuilding, I realized that, and this was my ego talking at the time, hey, like I'd be in the gym, and I'm like, this guy over here is smaller than me, and he's using bigger weights, and I don't like that. And then in my mind, the kind of body dysmorphia was, well, I want to look like A, but I think I look like B. And so I wanted to look more athletic because I think that's just the look I feel comfortable with. And so I realized that, hey, if you want to look like an athlete, you need to start training like an athlete. And so I kind of started, that was about, I competed in powerlifting bodybuilding until I was about 24.
Real quick question on that before, because I do want to know a little bit about the powerlifting and the records that you hold. One, I know very little about bodybuilding, but as far as the eating cycles, I know, you know, a tiny bit about that. But what's the thing with the dehydration prior to competition?
So the dehydration part is basically just to get the water out from your skin in between your skin and your muscles, basically. Mm-hmm. So you get that kind of like saran wrapped.
The tightest look you can get, right?
Tight, really tight look.
So how long would you go without drinking water before competition?
Typically, without drinking any water, you're talking like maybe a day.
Okay.
But the typical cycle that people use even today is like you drink 2 gallons a day, and you do that for months, maybe 2 months. And then about a week before, week to 10 days before, depending if you're using diuretics or not, which I never did, you basically cut that in half every day.
Okay.
What that does is basically your body gets used to a certain amount of water and passing it and processing it. Well, you cut it down so quickly that your body still thinks you're getting that much. And so you just continue to pass all the water and you essentially dehydrate yourself on purpose. But the main thing is that you look real sharp and, you know.
Your muscles stand out.
Your muscles stand
out. Right. There's no padding there for them to be hidden under.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally get why it was done, but just like the process of, you know, because I'm horrible at drinking water and I could go days and I don't look like that.
Well, there's a lot.
But I'm not used to drinking it that much anyway. So, the body's just not there.
Well, and there's, you know, the water part's like, you know, like 10% and then everything else. So just if you decide to do that, it's not just going to make you look like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, no, I'd hope not.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washtenaw Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
So, how about if it's lunchtime? What are we going to have from Wendy's?
You know, I really like Dave's Double for Lunch.
I really like their pub fries.
Yes, pub fries are delicious.
No, dude.
The pub fries have a warm beer cheese sauce and applewood smoked bacon. Do you know what else they have the lockdown on?
What's that?
Rewards.
Rewards? I'm all about some rewards. Tell me.
You can download their app and you get 10 points for every dollar you spend at Wendy's. And right now, you get $3 off every mobile order over $15.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me you could have gotten breakfast for me with a 2-for-4 deal. You could have gotten breakfast for the entire office with a 2-for-4 deal, spent over $15 and then gotten $3 off and fed us all.
Jerry, it's that time. You're going to have to be an adult. You need to download the Wendy's app yourself.
Ugh. Well, it doesn't seem that difficult, so I guess this is my opportunity to start doing things for myself.
That's exactly what you should do, because with the Wendy's app, you can order online, you can view the menu, or you can just locate the Wendy's nearest you.
But can we have Producer Trey pick it up for us?
We could have Producer Trey pick it up, or they will actually deliver.
True.
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So if you're like us and you love Wendy's and you need more in your life, make sure and visit the Wendy's location nearest you. Because remember, Wendy's is always fresh, always hot, and always satisfying.
So then, where were we at? We were
powerlifting, because you hold some records, don't you?
I don't know if I do now. I did it.
I think I looked it up.
I may still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure.
But let's talk about the world of powerlifting. Yeah. I've personally seen you just at the gym messing around when I came up there to visit you. Yeah. You know, pick up some really big stuff. But I know I've seen some videos, you know, on your page or on your Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks like two small Volkswagens you just picked up there on a bar, Derek. That's a massive amount of weight.
The reason I got into that, I'm kind of backtracking a little bit. The reason I got into that is because I wasn't as strong as I looked. Mm-hmm. And for me, I got to a point where I was just like, you know what? I just can't do this for vanity. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really care that much.
Like
about...
you said, you want to look like an athlete, train like an athlete.
Yeah.
Right?
And so that's kind of how I started. And my introduction into powerlifting and kettlebells kind of happened at the same time. And probably the last 5 or 6 years, I would actually say that I've trained like a powerlifter.
Mm-hmm.
Because between there, I did a lot of kettlebell work, because that's right when I started getting into kettlebells. I remember looking at I think it was like a Muscle Fitness magazine. And I specifically remember the one page in the back where a guy was using the kettlebell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this looks freaking awesome. And, you know, it's like, oh, this is good for saving time, and mm-hmm. it's conditioning, and it's strength, blah, 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 blah. Looking back on it now, what the guy was doing with the kettlebell is not even a kettlebell exercise.
Right.
It wasn't even something that you would really do. It was just a professional trainer who happened to be in the magazine. Anyway, so I messed around with him for about a year and started training myself. And like anybody, I did it totally wrong for a long time. And then I started looking. I said, you know, I should probably get instructed on this stuff. Because you need an instructor, you need to know what you're doing. And so I got to looking up people, and turns out that there were no kettlebell instructors in the area. So kind of a light bulb went off of, well, maybe I should become the kettlebell instructor.
And this is Northwest Arkansas.
This is Northwest Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so there was nobody in the state at the time. There was one guy that went and got certified, but he ended up not being certified anymore. I went and did that, and that would have been 25, I think. I was about 25. So right at the end of my bodybuilding, going into that. And as soon as I started using them, I realized that this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving my body the shape I want. I feel good doing it. It's not just a vanity type of exercise. And so that's really cool. Next, I had my first daughter when I was 27. And in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, you know, it's so funny how things work out, Ashley, because it's never like one thing that pushes you in a direction. It's like a multiple
culmination
of vectors in your life that points you in the right direction. Well, at the time I had a boss that absolutely hated me.
I can't imagine that, but I'll trust you.
That's a whole nother story of uh-huh. why. I don't understand it, because I was making her more money than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Brought a lot of people in there. Anyway, she didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to continue to pay this lady so much, X amount, when I literally could take that money and have my own place.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you were training at her facility,
yes.
But you had to pay in a portion of what you were making.
That's absolutely
right.
That's
right.
What trainers are. Yeah. And it was a good deal. So I was happy doing it, but I'm not going to sit here and
take abuse for
no reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, who's going to do that? And so what happened is that I had my daughter, and I was like, you know, if I ever want to do my place, have my own place, I need to go ahead and do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's going to get older, she's going to get more expensive, things are going to get more complicated. And right now, I really don't have a lot of responsibility, so I needed to take the plunge. And so I did that. But how I did it was I actually ended up making a business entity, which was an LLC at the time. And I did that, and my boss saw it in the paper. And so literally within a week was like, okay, you're fired.
Oh.
You can't start your own gym and do this. Because I was planning on telling them, you know, uh-huh. but I wanted to at least talk to my people.
You needed to get everything going so you weren't just completely out of it. Yeah.
But rightfully so. Uh-huh. Rightfully so. I was like, okay, that's fine. I understand. No sweat. And so that was, like I said, it's going to be 11 years in October. So I was about 27, 28. That took me about 3 months to kind of get the ball rolling on that. And mm-hmm. so I was training people at parks and kind of at my house and different stuff. And then finally got in a place, and that's where we are today. That's not powerlifting, though. We didn't talk about that.
But that's how you, I mean, that's how the gym started.
That's how the gym started,
right,
basically.
Right, right. Because you were training. You had seen the massive benefit
in
kettlebells and the lack of people to instruct in that.
Yeah.
And listeners, if you've ever, you know, used kettlebells without instruction, it's very easy to do it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed you're doing it wrong.
Derek was like, Ashley, you're doing this wrong. And you know, at that point, I was running and lifting and doing a lot of stuff. And he was like, nope, you're doing that wrong. I was like, fine. I thought I was doing just fine here. But you definitely need help. So you saw, you know, that there was a need for that. And you started a facility. I mean, that's pretty dang cool, Derek.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, I'd go back 11 years and say congratulations, but I'm pretty sure I said it at the time. So thank you.
That means a lot.
We should be all good on that. So you had the facility started, you're training, you're starting to get clients.
Yeah.
And then that's when you got into powerlifting?
So let me think. So I had about 4 or 5 years where I was kind of going back and forth between still stuck with, well, I want to be in shape, mm-hmm. conditioned, and look a certain way. Not like bodybuilding, but, you know, I was a young guy, and I was like, you know, hey, I want to be lean. I want to be all this stuff. Well, that was really holding me back from powerlifting because I was basically kind of serving two masters, and you really just can't do that very well. And by that, I say powerlifting, you typically do zero amount of cardio. You just try to lift as heavy as possible. You really don't need to be that flexible. It's literally like the most simple sport to train for. But I was continuing to try to move up in the kettlebell community, become a like a team leader or like a senior instructor so I could do international teaching and national and level teaching and whatnot. And so I was kind of serving both of those. And so I kind of did that and made strength gains. I think I probably, to throw out numbers, I think I was squatting about 575, benching 385, and I was deadlifting probably 635.
Trey's just over there shaking his head.
Well, if I was younger, I would immediately, if I was smarter, let me say, if I was smarter at the time, I would immediately got into powerlifting.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I only weighed like 227, which is tremendous weights for 227.
Okay.
Natural anyway.
Yeah.
I wasn't using steroids and still haven't. And so I did that. And then basically I was like, you know what? I want to like just get into powerlifting strict. And so the last 5 years, that's basically what I've done.
Okay.
And started doing more and more with that.
So can you give us what your, you know, your deadlift numbers are?
My best is 711, conventional deadlift.
Jeez.
No belt.
Did you hear those numbers, people? 711 pounds.
Yep. Okay. Now, there's a lot of guys my size that do more than that.
I don't care. That's crazy to me.
Well, naturally, there's not very many guys. Let me put it that way. My bench is like 396, which is a lot normally, but for powerlifting world, for my size, it's not great. My squat is 645 is what I did last. And this is all without belts or knee sleeves. So if you're in a powerlifting community, you wear gear, what's called gear, to support your joints.
Right.
It helps you lift more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just never made sense to me to do that. Because I'm like, okay, well, I'm training for a function. Like, I want to be stronger in case, you know, this all goes back to me getting picked on. If I ever, like, get in a fight or I get picked on, well, I want to be as strong as I can be.
But you're, like, the most non-confrontational person.
I'm not very confrontational.
No.
I don't want to fight. I've never actually been in a fight.
No. Yeah.
No. But I mean, I fought with my brother, but that's not a fight.
But you wanted to be able to defend yourself, so.
And so it just makes sense to me that, hey, if someone wants to pick a fight, what am I going to say? Hey, let me put my belt on real quick. Let me put my knee wraps on and we'll go out and do this. And so I just never really got into that. And that is very much an anomaly because you go to powerlifting meets and people are just amazed that I'm not wearing supportive gear and I'm not wearing knee sleeves and I'm not wearing a belt. Doesn't that hurt your back? Well, I'm doing it right.
Well,
and I'm strong enough to do it.
You've always been such a purist anyways, okay?
Thank you, Ashley.
But
not many people realize that.
I do. You. I mean, dude, we've been friends for a long dang time.
Absolutely.
You've always been a purist, but you were saying that, you know, these people at these powerlifting competitions were like, how are you doing that? How is that? How are your joints handling that?
Yeah.
And my guess would be it's because like you have a huge focus on flexibility.
Well, that's a big part of it.
I mean, like that was something like you really drilled when you were talking to me was like, hey, you've got to be able to be flexible to do this. This is not, you don't just go out cold, do anything.
Yeah.
Like
that's a big part of it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Because there's a lot of guys, you know, still to this day. I mean, I should say it's getting a little bit better, but there's a lot of guys still to this day. Well, I'm not stretching. That's for sissies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you want to get stronger. And literally, when you pull on your muscle, it makes it stronger. That's mm-hmm. how it responds. And so it's not going to make you powerlifting strong, but it's going to help your tendons and ligaments. It's going to allow your body to get in the positions easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to allow your natural coordination to be expressed better. And so that is something that I've done for a long time. So you're absolutely right about that. And I've just taken the time to do it slowly, you know, as far as building up, because a lot of people just get, especially in the powerlifting community and bodybuilding. It's the same reason why I got out of bodybuilding is I got to a point where the only people that were beating me were people on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like,
you'd reach your level there because there was no, you know, without
there is
your
no
body
competing.
Full of stuff, you can't.
There
you can't
is
compete
no competing,
in
especially in bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some natural shows, but the image in my head was basically bodybuilder on steroids, and I was not going to go there at that time. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. It makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, I've got a friend, and what he says is at that point, fitness shouldn't come before health except in the dictionary.
Okay.
Meaning, so if mm-hmm. it's something you're doing for your fitness is detrimental to your health, like steroids.
Right.
Then it doesn't make sense to do.
Yeah, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the rule I've always followed. And so in powerlifting, however, they have, I should say, let me backtrack. A lot of guys will just say, well, I'm not getting any better, so I'm just going to start taking steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, Ashley. I'm not saying that it matters to me, because in powerlifting, they have drug-tested events,
mm-hmm.
and they have non-drug-tested events. That's the best way to do it, because at that point, if you enter a non-drug-tested event, you know you're going to be tested at the end.
Right.
Or sorry, if you're entering a non-tested event, then that's basically saying, take steroids if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to be doing it.
You know who you're competing against.
You know who you're going to be competing against. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, really good. And so a lot of guys, that's just what they do. Just, you know what, instead of actually like looking how these other really good athletes have trained
mm-hmm.
in exercise and what they actually do, they say, well,
shortcut.
I'll just get more anabolic and I'll just get stronger. And it works
mm-hmm.
because not all super good powerlifters actually use the best training methods. But then you look at some of these world record holders, were PhD students, biochemistry students, very, very intelligent people that use their knowledge to help them get these world records and set these records and stuff. Now, were they also on steroids? Maybe. That was back, you know, in the highlight of the 80s. That's what a lot of
probably.
Guys did.
Probably.
But a lot of people nowadays, especially with Instagram and whatnot, it's just like, well, I want to get all these followers and I want to look a certain way. Boom, I'm just going to take the shortcut.
I would imagine that the body dysmorphia is so much more common now with things like Instagram. I
100%.
Mean, yeah, it's got to be. Luckily, I'm just dang nearly 40 and I really don't even care anymore what I look like. But, you know, I mean, like if I were young and on Instagram, oh, man, yeah, I'd be having a fit. A
lot of depressed people out there because of it.
Yeah, that's very, very sad.
Yeah.
You keep your Instagram pretty positive, though.
Try to.
You know, fishing. That makes everybody happy. So
doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, come
because
on.
Because happy people holding fish up, you know.
Well, there's just so much negativity out there
mm-hmm.
that I will tell people, I'm going to spew positivity till the day I die. Because the easiest thing you can do is be negative.
That's true.
How we're born. That's what we think. That's how most people think. And it's just like, I don't want to take the easy way out. And so I'm going to make myself be positive. And what I've realized too is that these people who are super negative all the time typically have not been through enough trauma. I shouldn't say enough. Have not had a lot of trauma. Have not had a lot of hardships in their life. Have not really had to overcome hard, hard things. And so all they see is, well, my dog's sick, so I'm not going to do anything for 3 weeks. I'm
mm-hmm.
And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying that.
In the grand scheme of things, it could always be worse.
It could always be worse. And I've talked to people, you know, it's like I've had a lot of trauma in my life, but when you talk to other people, it's like there's a lot of people that got it worse out there.
Yeah.
No matter what you're going through.
Yeah. But then you've got things like where I said, man, it couldn't get much worse and it got worse.
Yes.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washout Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Jerry, you know how I was mentioning that I really needed a new couch?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this one I found online.
I mean, that's great and all, but why are you looking for furniture online?
Well, because of the selection and the price. And
that's absolutely ridiculous. You have the same selection and better prices, and you can actually sit and experience the furniture you're going to get for your home at Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they the one who's been family-owned and operated for like 40 years?
Yes, they are, and they offer all the brands you're going to find online. Like Ashley, GE, Whirlpool, Catnapper, Samsung, England Furniture, Speed Queen, and more. If you visit the store and it's not there for you to sit on, and experience, they can special order for you. You can have anything you want there, and the prices are going to really reflect in your pocketbook.
So, like, the same Ashley furniture that I'm looking at online, I can get at Don's?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about delivery setup? Because, you know, shopping online, I get delivery.
Yeah, shopping online, then you've got your delivery fees, your shipping fees, taxes, yada, yada, yada. You go to Don's, you see the price tag, taxes included, delivery fee included, any financing options included in the price on the tag. No math.
Okay, well, what about other stuff? What if I don't just need a couch? What else do they have?
Oh my gosh, every major appliance for your washroom, your kitchen, they've even got game systems, vacuums, stuff for home and garden. If you need it for your house, you can go to Don's and get it. You can also go to Don's and get tires. I mean, really, anything that you need, you can get it at Don's.
Well, you know, I'm really hard on my appliances. What if something breaks?
Not to worry, because Don's does all of the appliance work on things that you buy from them. Things like washers, dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and freezers. So you buy it from them, it breaks, they're going to help you out with appliance repair.
Well, this place that I was shopping online, they had like financing options. Does Don's have that too?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so they've got the retail, like if you just buy it, they've got the price there. You can rent to own it, or you can do 180 days same as cash, or you can do 6 months same as cash for anything over $1,000. And all of that has the tax and delivery, everything included in the price.
So the price on the piece is the price that I would be paying.
Yeah, price on the piece is the price that you pay.
All right, so where all is Don's at? I mean, where do I go?
If you live in Arkansas, you're pretty much close to it. I mean, you've got one in Mena, Waldron, DeQueen, Broken Bow, Idabel, Poto, and they're also going to be doing this really cool new home store in Boonville.
So Don's home store in Boonville.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So can I find them online too?
Yeah. So you just get on Facebook and search Don's Easy Pay and then put in your location like Mena or Waldron, Idabel or Boonville. And you can look at their Facebook page, give them a call, find their address, and just stop in and see what they can do for you.
So basically, if I need it for my home, Don's Easy Pay has it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's go. Car. Shopping trip. I'm kind of interested to know what the early success of the gym was. Did you find that you had a lot of clients, people seeking you out early on, or did it take a while to get things rolling?
You know, I think it's like any business. You kind of, it's ebb and flows. It definitely does that. The first couple years were probably the hardest. Not necessarily money-wise, because those were good years. But at the time, I had already worked in Fayetteville as a trainer for, you know, about 7 years, mm-hmm. 8 years. And I'm talking full time.
So you had a client list.
I worked with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was by far the busiest person at every gym I ever worked at. And so I had a lot of people that I could call on. And when they figured out that I was having my own place, a lot of those people came over.
Mm-hmm.
It was just hard as far as like, I don't have a business degree. I didn't go to school for business. Mm-hmm. I went to school for biology. That's what I like to do. I'm not a business person. I didn't have a business parent. I didn't know anything about finances. And so there very much was a learning curve for the first couple of years of, okay, this is what you need to do. This is how you do it. Luckily, I had a couple older guys in my life that really, really helped me out. Specifically one, Bob Lutz, who's passed away, and he was a great friend. He was an accountant. And then Mark Pryor, who is still alive today, and he's a great friend also. And just they kind of lend me a lot of information of, okay, this is what you need to do with your money. This is how you need to do it.
Some guidance as far as owning your own business, because it is a completely different animal.
It's a completely different animal.
Yeah. And I mean, if you've never done that, you don't know the ins and outs. That is the toughest part of starting.
Oh, absolutely.
Right there.
Yep.
Because you're probably already going to have the interest in what you're doing or the talent in what you're doing. But being able to keep those books going, that's a whole nother thing.
No, absolutely.
So what are your range of clients like? I mean, because
everybody.
I mean, this is truly a kettlebell gym, but you don't just have kettlebells. They've been in there. So if you were basically, you know, just say we were doing a promo commercial for the gym.
Yeah.
What would you want people to know about it?
It's very much individualized is what we should. And that's the big, and that's easy to say, but also something that we didn't mention is that for the longest time, I was the only person doing what's called the functional movement screen. And that's pretty common now. And it's a couple physical therapists put this out. And basically what it was is a screening system that you go through with new clients. And it basically just tells you their flexibility.
I did this with you, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, did. Okay.
And it seems really simple, and I'm simplifying that. It's not exactly just a flexibility test, but what it does is it highlights where the problem areas are going to be for your customer. And so for me, just through reworking how my mind works, I guess, as the more people I worked with before I started kettlebells and functional training, I just realized that, hey, I keep seeing people having knee pain, or I keep seeing people have back pain, or I keep seeing people have shoulder pain. Well, a lot of personal trainers will just say, well, either I can't help you, or we're just not going to do that.
We're going to avoid that. Yeah.
Well, you got a shoulder hurts, and it hurts in everything you do. Well, you can't do upper body. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't accept that. And so, again, it was kind of a timing luck thing. I lucked out on, I was just going through a magazine, or I should say a catalog, and it had a kit of the functional movement screen kit that you started, and this was before it was even a big thing. And so I started looking into that, and that opened up so many doors for me, because then people started realizing, oh, you got a shoulder that's bothered you for a long time, go see Derek, because he'll get you back in shape and you can do this. And all it basically is I mean, it's rehab type of exercises and movements that you do, but it sets these kind of steps that way you can get into powerlifting if you want to, get in back into bench press if you want to, get into pull-ups and get rid of this pain. And if anybody's a physical therapist and hears this, I wasn't diagnosing anything because that would be illegal. But, you know, if I have a customer that comes in and says, well, my knee hurts and I've been to the physical therapist and I've been to the chiro and I've been to the doctor and they're not helping me, so I need someone to help me and I've heard you could help me. I'm going to help that person.
Right.
And I can legally do it and it's totally fine. And so that was probably half my business. And then kettlebell functional training was the other half, because that was kind of a novelty people hadn't really done. And so that's the big thing, is that we definitely go through that, and it's individualized as far as what you're actually going to be doing and what you're actually going to be working on. And it's basically as individualized as it can get.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of group workout classes there.
We do. We have to do that groups, but it's more like, okay, if the workout of the day says deadlifts, military presses, and squats, we'll just keep it simple. But you know, when we went through the functional movement screen, that you have deficiencies and you're tight in your ankles and shoulders, then instead of doing deadlifts, you're going to do A, B, and C. And so it totally individualizes it and makes people work towards this like one set program. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so still to this day, there's almost no one that does that. And actually, I'm almost certain there's no one that does that, because there's only one other FMS guy. I think Cherie Colombi, I think she is an FMS, but she's doing more rehab stuff. And so I think I'm the only gym, pretty sure the only gym that does that still.
Wow.
And so that's pretty cool. And I'm almost more proud of that, because it's like a nerdy kind of thing. People don't really think about it and they don't really want to do that. Because if you come into the gym and you're like, oh yeah, ballistic power and kettlebell, I want to be awesome. I want to do deadlifts and I want to sweat.
I don't want to stretch.
I don't want to stretch.
Yeah.
You come in and I'm like, dude, like you literally can't touch the floor. I can't have you do almost anything. So we're going to stretch for a little while. A lot of people are turned off by that. And so I have had to find ways to be like, okay, we're going to do what you want to do, but trust me, 3 months down the road, when you don't have an injury, you're going to thank me.
Right.
And so there's a lot of that that happens. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what makes us basically.
Now, are you the only trainer there right now?
Or at this point, staff? Yes, I am.
So if, you know, if they come in, they're going to get the personalized experience with you.
Oh,
I mean,
100%.
You're going to be there side by side with them the whole way. Have you trained any other deadlifters? I feel like I've seen some stuff where you've posted and had some
it's
clients.
It's pretty well
at
understood that if you come to the gym, the goal is to get your deadlift better.
Really?
That's the goal. Well, I mean,
like as far as the competition and powerlifting and everything, I mean, have you?
Yes. Oh yeah. We had, I think last year we had 10 compete in our powerlifting meet at the gym.
Oh, so you had an actual powerlifting meet at the gym.
So we're holding that now. So we're doing the drug-tested Arkansas Championships. We're doing that every February.
Cool.
So if you like powerlifting and you're not on steroids, then Come February, come deadlift with us.
Okay.
And squat.
So is there, do you have any plans to expand, or are you just kind of hanging with what you got right now and, you know, continuing on? You said you were physical therapy. You're working on that.
So I don't like to speak things unless they actually work.
Manifest it into existence, Derek.
I speak it in my mind, but I don't want to say it out loud.
Well, you don't have to share, but you can just say, yes, I have plans.
Yes, I have bigger, much, much bigger plans.
Okay.
And so things are setting up good. Yeah. So, I mean, the goal, and people are doing it now, is to be able to do physical therapy and have a gym. And there's two or three other facets that I'm not going to mention because those aren't solidified just yet. But yeah, that's kind of the big picture goal. Barring that I can get into the physical therapy program, which I can eventually, then that should work out great. And it's so interesting, though, because Steve Schulte literally 20 freaking years ago saw that and was doing what basically the future. He was so far ahead of what anybody else was doing at the time. I mean, really, really up on his stuff.
Really?
As far as having a PT clinic, having a gym, having a rehab, all in there in one. I mean,
one-stop shop.
People weren't doing that then.
Right.
And we were just extremely fortunate. I don't think people realize that. In MENA, to have that and have that opportunity and what that actually means, that's huge.
It is. It is.
And so,
do you ever stop in and see Larry when you're in town?
Every once in a while, yeah. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while.
Keep your inhalers at the ready. The Washed Out Chronicles will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Ashley, I'm so glad you're my best friend.
What do you want?
Well, help all the time. You know, my life is a mess, always. How long have you known me? And it always seems to be a mess. And that's why you're the sunshine of my life. And I'm hoping that as the sunshine of my life, you've got some type of information for me to help me get a little bit more independent.
Girl, I don't know that I got that much energy. But speaking of energy, you know I just bought a new house, right?
Well, yeah.
So this new house that I bought has extremely high ceilings, okay, and lots of rooms, and no backup heat source. I'm feeling like my electric bills are going to be sky high.
You being the sunshine of my life is not going to help you with your electric bills.
No, but you know what will?
What?
Calling Area Solar. Okay, so Area Solar is local. They're based out of Hatfield, Arkansas, and they serve Polk County and surrounding counties.
Nice.
Let me give you some facts on solar. Solar is now less expensive than grid electricity. Solar systems can pay back in about 10 years. Solar energy is free and renewable. The sun will shine for many years to come, just like me in your life. And solar energy also avoids burning of fossil fuels like coal and natural gas that contribute to global warming. Solar is efficient. It's generated right where it's used. And tax credits. Currently, the tax credit is 26% on all solar-related installations. So Area Solar can install two different types of solar-powered systems. Off-grid, which requires batteries but can be anywhere in the woods or just backup power when the power goes out. And then the grid tied. That actually connects to a power company to lower your electric bill to a base rate, generally about $20 or so a month.
Nice. That's the kind of cash I need back in my pocket.
I'm going to call Riley Johnson. He is our local Area Solar expert. If you think that solar might be the next step for you, you got to give Riley Johnson a call at Area Solar, 870-389-6115. Well, do you have any, before we move into our lightning round, do you have any?
Oh, lightning round?
Yeah, that's just our fun part.
You didn't tell me this. Okay.
So sorry. But do you have any advice for someone who is suffering from things like body dysmorphia right now, or just, you know, I mean, just low health overall, who's looking to get started to do something, just the simplest thing? I mean, my thing is I always tell people, just start walking. Like, that's, to me,
yeah,
that's relaxing. I like that. But, you know,
what? Set yourself up a goal and reward system. Mm-hmm. That's how I do it. And that's what I really encourage people to do. That, and make sure you make very, very small steps.
Very small. You because don't want to jump into the gym January 1st. And yeah, that's burnout. Those people never. It never works.
Never works. Well, and that, and those people that typically, if you're like really bad, and as far as you don't want to move or anything, you've probably got some depression or something else going on that's feeding that mm-hmm. you just are like, man, I just don't want to do anything, or I don't want to do that. You got to start very small. I tell people, like, how I coach my food is, well, let's get your breakfast healthy. Mm-hmm. That's just what I do.
So don't worry about what you're eating the rest of the day. Let's start with this one meal.
Let's do that correctly for a week, and then we're going to move to the next meal. And that's just one small example of nutrition coaching and how I do it. A lot of people, I think, when they get coached on nutrition, they want, well, this is the plan I'm going to do. Well, I don't want to give you something that if you have to, like, super try to do.
Right.
You're like, it's going to be super hard for you to do. Because then it becomes this short-term thing that you're doing instead of like this easy decisions of lifestyle changes, and teaches you actually how to do it. Does that make sense?
You know, yeah, it does.
And so that's the nutrition part, but then exercise, you're exactly right.
Okay, so you've got the nutrition coaching in addition to just the personal training. Yeah. Any other services offered there?
Life coach.
Well, I was about to say life
coach. Extraordinaire, right. Whatever, you know, halftime comedian. So,
okay, so let's give the details real quick before we do lightning round. So, Ballistic Power and Kettlebell Gym, 2505 South Thompson Suite 10, Springdale, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you on social media?
So, Ballistic Power and Kettlebell is the gym's page. And that's if you're interested in any type of exercise stuff, I would definitely go there.
Okay.
We have a Facebook page, it'll come up on Google also. Mm-hmm. I do have a website, it's ballisticgym.com. Okay. www.ballisticgym.com, which that will probably going to change. So
we can always update later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing all the things. That is so awesome.
I'm trying to do all the things.
All right. Lightning round.
Okay.
This is just super
My
quick.
My eyes just perked up.
Real quick questions.
Okay. Are we doing fun questions?
Yeah. It's like just little personal kind of get to know you better for the listeners because I know you pretty well. So favorite color?
Favorite color, green.
Cat person or dog person?
Can I say neither?
You can say neither.
Neither. Well, if I was going to have one, it would be a dog.
Okay, there you go.
But you have to have room for a dog, and you have to have be able to time and really commit to it, and I'm just not there.
Okay, what artist or song do you have on repeat right now?
Artist or song that I have on repeat? Well, I'm obviously a huge Led Zeppelin fan. Anybody that knows me at all knows that. You know, I've been listening to country music, honestly.
Some Tyler.
Who?
Tyler Childers.
No. Reba McEntire. What?
No. I mean,
fancy.
I have a very wide range in music, but you just regressed to the 80s, so.
I mean, that was basically the best country music.
It was. Right? 80s and 90s country. Was
the end of great country music.
Yeah. But I'm surprised you didn't say, like, I was, like, jamming out to Garth Brooks and George Strait. You said Reba.
Well, okay. She's one.
Yeah, she's
Garth
great.
Garth Brooks, obviously, is great. I've been listening to Five Finger Death Punch here lately. That's pretty good. That's not country music.
Whole opposite
obviously.
End of the spectrum.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then pretty much any type of like country blues, mainly Johnny Cash. That's my go-to.
Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up? Like when you were a little kid?
A teacher.
A teacher.
Yeah.
And you are a teacher.
And I'm going to be
a fitness teacher.
So that's another part that I didn't mention. But yeah, I wanted to be a teacher.
But I mean, you've been teaching people for years and
Whether
years.
Whether they like it or not, that's what they get.
Yeah. Okay. Last one. If you could have, you know, a dinner party, sit down and have dinner with three people, dead or alive, they don't have to be famous. They can. Who would they be?
Whoa. Three people. This is lightning round and you're going to throw that on me?
Yeah, some people answer really quickly. Others take like 5 minutes and Trey has a whole lot of cutting to do. I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
So mine was my grandmother, who I miss dearly, Buddha, and Bill Clinton.
Okay. Hey. Okay.
So does that give you something to kind of...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take me just a minute. Sorry, Trey. You have to cut some time out. Undoubtedly, one would be my brother, Wesley.
Yes.
This current time, dead or alive, I would probably pick, that's so hard, Elon Musk.
Okay.
I'm a big Elon Musk fan because he's not a jerk.
Yeah, respect. Respect.
I mean, regardless of whether he's wealthy, that doesn't really bother me or mine. I don't care about that, but he's not a jerk, so that's huge.
And insanely intelligent. God, that'd be
super intelligent.
Conversation.
And then Dolly Parton. What?
Love it.
What?
Love it.
What?
I was happy.
Would you not sit down with Dolly Parton?
Yes, I would.
She's literally
an angel.
Needs to be a knight. I mean, she's a saint.
Like, yeah, she is. Wow. She truly is. She probably will be sainted despite not being Catholic, but it could happen. I truly believe that. Derek, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
thank
way easier than I was
so
expecting.
So very much for coming and visiting with me.
Good.
I knew
I didn't
that you were nervous.
Too much?
No.
Okay,
no. I think this went really, really good. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'm sorry and sad for Jerry that she missed out. She would have enjoyed this a lot, but she'll get to hear the playback. So, you know.
Absolutely. Anytime.
It's time for that portion of the show we like to call Fast Facts with
Producer Trey.
We're trying not to blow Trey's ears out. And Trey's trying to hold his composure. He has such a hard time doing that with us.
I had my hand on Jerry's knob to where it's like, turn it down so she doesn't scream into the mic and into my ears.
She faked you out.
She did fake me out.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into Fast Facts, though, I want to talk about today's guest. As I said, I've known Derek for a very long time. We grew up together. But there was a couple parts of his story that I really wasn't aware of. I mean, I knew he got into fitness young because, as you heard in the episode, we, you know, some stories about into the fitness. But he got into fitness young, and he got into it for a man, a really great reason, but to have the forethought at such a young age to try to combat, you know, mental issues or depression or just having a bad mm-hmm. time in life with exercise, that's huge. Mm-hmm. But Derek has come a really, really long way from the 15-year-old boy who was trying to deal with his parents' divorce through healthy habits to now being the owner of the very first kettlebell facility in Arkansas. He's also got some big things on the horizon that he wasn't quite ready to share yet, but hopefully we'll get to have him back in.
Oh, welcome back.
Yeah, sometime in the future once those, you know, plans have culminated. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost absolutely 99% positive they will come to fruition because he's a man with a plan. He is man with a plan, and he is so dedicated to helping people and maintaining that positive outlook on life. And that has already taken him very far, and it's just going to take him farther.
That's so awesome. I think it's definitely a message to especially young people that no matter what you're facing, depression or whatever right now, there are healthy habits. There are things you can do to help mitigate some of those symptoms that you're experiencing, and life can get better and you can find your purpose and chase your passion and the results can be fantastic.
I completely agree, Jerry. You're 100% spot on there. So one thing that did come up during our episode with Derek is he was discussing powerlifting, you know, and how he'd gotten into that, the fact that he competes without gear, which is really cool. I mentioned during the episode, well, I said to him, you know, you're a purist. I think that really tickled him. I think that a lot of people, or maybe a lot of people have not recognized that, or at least related that to him. But I started to ask him about his records, his weightlifting records, and he could remember a few, but not all of them. So I had Trey do a little bit of digging, and we actually have some of Derek's weight records.
What you got for us, Trey?
So I found this in the drug tested division of the United States Powerlifting Associated, which is something that, you know, he doesn't take steroids. He doesn't do anything, as he mentioned. Mm-hmm. So this is the division that he competes in. The record that I found was his squat was 617 pounds, just over a 341 pound bench. His deadlift was just over 661 pounds for a total of 1,620 pounds. That's his record that he has with the United States Powerlifting Association.
Yeah, two small Volkswagens.
Two small Volkswagens.
I wasn't joking. As always, thank you for listening to the Wachita Chronicles, brought to you by Don's Easy Pay and Don's Home Store. You can find us, along with other great shows, at thewachitapodcast.com. Contact us at thewachitapodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. And please give us a rating on whatever podcast streaming platform you are currently listening to us on. Until next time, Ashley and Jerry,
out. Thank you for listening to the Wachita Chronicles.